This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is 12.03, coming up to 12.04. Today I'm in the studio with...
Jeff Sandhu.
I'm in your bridge.
As usual, our producer is Christine Wong. We're going to be with you all the way through until about 1 o'clock this afternoon. Now, our main question of today, unless you've been hidden under a rock, is going to be about Gojek. So it was only last year that Anthony Loke said that Putrajaya did not intend to legalise motorcycle ride-hailing services anytime soon. To protect the safety of riders and passengers in view of the high number of motorcycle accidents recorded nationwide over the years. The Transport Ministry said an analysis found that the risk of motorcyclists being involved in fatal accidents was 42.5 times higher than that for buses and 16 times higher than that of cars. Last night, though, it turns out that Gojek did indeed get the green light. Our question for you guys at home: are Malaysian motorists ready for Gojek? That is our question. Get us via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. This is going to be running all the way through the show. That is Jeff's story. He'll be covering that in just a few moments. We're then going to be moving on how we've gone from Gojek here in Malaysia and Indonesia to, Arvin,
driverless buses in Singapore. Where else?
Yeah, of course. And then wrapping up the show, of course, with YouTube removing videos of robots fighting because of animal cruelty.
Let that sink in.
So let's move on to like the main story of today, right? So you could soon be able to hitch a motorbike ride here on the, you know, popular Indonesian motorcycle ride-hailing company Gojek. So the cabinet has agreed to allow the company to operate here, pending the sorting out of a few details here and there. The announcement is a complete U-turn from last year, Rich, as you mentioned, when the Transport Minister Anthony Loke said that Pakatan Harapan government wasn't planning on approving motorbike ride hailing anytime soon. Also, you know, the Entrepreneur Development Minister Rezwan Yusof yesterday came out and said that, well, actually, you know what? We've agreed to introduce motorcycle ride-hailing service Gojek in Malaysia. He said that it was discussed in the cabinet meeting today and it's given the green light, but there is no decision yet on regulations, nothing specific just yet. He also said that the transport and also the youth and ministries must review the relevant laws as soon as possible and present it to the cabinet. He said that a new legislation would be presented before the year end. He's saying that it is not that difficult as there are already existing laws. So yesterday's Transport Minister Anthony Loke said that the proposal to bring Gojek to Malaysia will be discussed by the cabinet. So this is again the, you know, complete U-turn. In 2017, they banned the previous government banned Digo Ride, which is a Malaysian company that's operating in Johor that provided similar ride-hailing services. The previous government cited that the risk of motorcycles being involved in fatal accidents being 42.5 times higher than buses and 16 times higher than cars. And, you know, this U-turn, they say, could now allow motorcyclists to earn more money, much like the e-hailing drivers. And since many motorcyclists are in the B40 group, this will be a much welcome effort by the government, especially if as promised by the Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq. You know, he said that, you know, Gojek would not have a monopoly. They would ensure that, you know, they don't kind of have this kind of monopoly. But interestingly, though, Big Blue Taxi Service founder Shamsuddin Ismail is threatening to organize a protest
again.
So, you know, he says Gojek as a career will not ensure a promising future, and Malaysian youth deserve better than that. I have to say, though, I never thought I'll live this day, but I kind of agree with what he says here in the fact that, like, you know, it isn't something of like, you know, a high skill job, or isn't something where, you know, you would really want to have the youth, you know, be involved with because of the safety regulations, the safety hazard that it has. And also just like, you know, we've spoken about, you know, this many times before, like, you know, what about EPF? What about insurance? You know, what about the maintenance of the vehicle? So there's a lot of, you know, little little kind of cost that's hidden from the eyes of, you know, us the consumer, that we don't see it, and it really does have an impact in the long term game. So if you're, you know, if you're a 16-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid, when you get your bike license, I think when you're 18 you get a bike license. So mm-hmm. when you get your bike license, you know you may feel like, hey, maybe I could do Gojek, you know, this motorcycle hailing services. But then, what about EPF? And, you know, it affects you the long-term run, right? And, you know, what kind of skills you may have been missing out if you're working with this kind of services, right? So I guess, you know, he does raise an interesting point in the sense that maybe Malaysian youth, they do deserve better. But there's a lot more questions to be asked here, right? Would this ride-hailing motorcyclist have to go through the PSV licenses, for example, right? You know, we've seen the trouble that Grab and also other kind of ride-hailing services, the MyCars and so forth, they had, you know, troubles trying to get their drivers approved using the PSV license, you know.
And still having trouble.
Right? So a lot of them are still waiting. Like, I met a Grab driver recently, and, you know, he was saying that, you know, he recently only started Grab, just a week old, and I asked him, what about your PSV license? He's like, well, I applied, and, it took about 2 months to apply, and now I'm just waiting, and he's been waiting since then. So, so that still is a question mark that's being, you know, lingering around. And, you know, now you say, all right, okay, you know, let's work on, you know, how we can bring Gojek into town, right? So I think there's a lot more issues that needs to be looked at. You know, are there even PSV licenses for motorcycles per se, right? I don't think there is, but, you know, and if there isn't a PSV license for motorcycles, then, or motorcyclists, then it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a complete new thing and it's going to take time. So why the rush till the year in as well? So
I'll just say this right now. There is no way I am getting on the back of an unknown motorcycle rider here in Malaysia. I'm just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how unsafe the majority of motorcyclists are here in Malaysia. Jeff, you know, you were telling me about an issue you had this morning with getting to work and somebody cutting you off on a motorcycle and whatever.
I mean, just etiquettes, right?
Yeah.
We all share the road. We all pay, you know, road taxes and insurance and stuff, right? So when I travel outside of Malaysia, even just if you just drive down to Singapore, if you give your turn signal and, you know, during peak hours, right? If you give a turn signal, the person at the back on the other lane would generally kind of slow down or just let you, you know, cut into your lane, right? Because, you know, that's just how the road works. You share the road, no matter what size of the vehicle that you drive. Here in Malaysia, we've just got a very different kind of understanding of a turn signal. A turn signal, even you give a turn signal, if you give a turn signal, you know, if you give a turn signal, it just means the person on the other end is like, I got to speed up now and close that gap because...
Before you do.
Because you know, you're not going to be in front of me.
Right,
yeah.
Because, you know, it's like trying to live Ricky Bobby's motto. If you ain't first, you're last.
But... The other issue is, you know, we already had a service like this that was up and running. Not only was it just in Johor as well, but I believe they'd got some outlets here in KL as well, in Selangor. It was already up and running. You know, the process was there, the infrastructure was there, the business model was there. Why are we not looking at a local company who'd already established themselves? Why are we not investing in them and jumping over to Indonesia? I mean, I know Gojek are established. I know they have everything there and they can just transfer their business model over here. I get that.
Yeah.
And I know there's money involved and I know there's investment involved. I understand all of that. But we already have a Malaysian company, for heaven's sake. You know,
I think because they have better problem-solving skills. So they would have these problems in Indonesia. They would have sort of like sorted them out, you know, all the stuff, all the teething problems that they would have had there, they don't have to have here again. So if you can sort of have this service in a bigger population or with a bigger crowd in Indonesia, then maybe it's easier for them to operate here. Still, coming back to, you know, like Malaysian ethics and how we use the roads and stuff, I actually worry about the dispatches because it's a business built on speed.
Yeah.
It's how fast you can get to point A to pick someone up. It's how fast you can get to point B to drop them off. And then you need to get to point A again to pick up something or someone's food or drop it off in some other town or whatever the app is telling you to do. And we've seen how the Grab guys have to like wait at different points to pick up the food in peak hours. You know, sometimes they wait under the... Just here in Bandar Utama, if you go to Wan Utama, you'll see a lot of them waiting under the flyover because they cannot travel in the traffic. So they wait for orders to come in and then they go to Wan Utama, pick up the food, and then they're circling around like Tamantun doing their delivery.
Right.
So it's
right.
all about speed. If you ask someone on a bike to sort of deliver something based on speed, that is putting them in danger. And secondly, it's putting everybody else on the road in danger. So I think there's a lot of other issues for us to iron out first before we commercialize or mainstream motorcycle delivery services.
I mean, there's stuff like training we've got to consider.
Yeah.
There's stuff like, you know, whether or not these younger people who clearly this is aimed at will be taking on these jobs. You know, if they have had issues with them riding before, if they have had accidents before, if the police have caught them before, you know, all of these things we need to be looking into. And there needs to be some kind of way of legitimizing this. And then once they are, we've gone through all of these processes. Who, again, it's all down to who's going to kind of police this situation. You know, we know enforcement is not a thing here in Malaysia. And I don't know how many kids or motorcycles they intend to put on the roads here in Malaysia, but it's going to be an awful lot.
It's surely going to be a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's... When you look at Jakarta and what Gojek has done with Jakarta, that's amazing because that's... Before Gojek came into Jakarta, Jakarta has always been known as, you know, a place where motorcycles thrive.
And Vietnam too.
And Vietnam too, and Bangkok as well, right? So I guess if we're going to try to emulate what Jakarta has done with Gojek, it's just, we're very different. A good quote, you know, on Instagram, on Twitter, then I posted out, a friend of mine replied, Tariq Dennison, he says, you know, reminds me of a quote, a developed country is not where poor people have cars. Rather, it's one where the rich take public transport.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yep. Yeah.
We've got to wrap up, folks. We'll be back. Of course, this is the discussion of today. Are Malaysian motorists ready for Gojek? Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We've got some responses already. Music coming up from The Coral with Dreaming of You here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
But films, man. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Jeff Sandu.
Arvind Yuvraj.
We asked you guys for feedback. Oh my word, we got it. Let's start with Twitter first. Of course, the story that we're talking about today is whether or not Malaysians are ready, Malaysian roads and drivers are ready for Gojek. Let's go to Twitter with Arvind.
Yeah, so this comes from General Hummer, who says definitely not. Emin Ibrahim says, I don't think Malaysian motorists are worse than those in Indonesia or Vietnam. If anything, our lack... of enforcement should be looked into to ensure traffic rules are followed. As for ride hailing, I'm sure if driver rides dangerously, you can always report them, you know, to the next tweet. And then he says, most of my friends in Jakarta now don't eat out anymore thanks to Gojek. It's so convenient to just order and eat at home. We are not unique.
Mr. Fish 88 over on Insta Stories says, first of all, Gojek is not only a bike taxi. It has a whole suite of services. Bike taxi, no, the rest, okay. We know that, but it's a bike taxi. That's the one
that they're bringing into Malaysia, though.
Yeah.
Lee Jian Chin has said no. Bob T. Asia says yes, but limited only for KL, Selangor, Penang, or wherever the traffic is crazy. Gary Wong has said, would one ride pillion to a reckless food delivery driver? Think about it. SRV Pile has said for sure. We've got yes. And then finally, I've got yes. I should welcome Gojek to prevent monopolistic behavior.
So on WhatsApp, number ending 7384 says, his take on or opinion on the question. Our law cites the motorcyclist. Knock into a motorcyclist, no question asked, gets who's at fault. With the introduction of Gojek, government will have no choice but to tighten and also uphold these laws on motorcyclists. No more running red lights, making illegal U-turns. Time to start penalizing them for breaking the law with or without passengers. So back to your question, are motorists ready for Gojek? Well, they have to be. And then Raz says, you know, sites addiction should actually be promoting Moto e-hailing, not a specific company. It's a little bit strange for a minister to promote a specific business. Also, Jakarta suffers from gridlock. Except for the city centre, we really don't suffer from gridlocks like the ones in Jakarta, you know, especially looking at the suburbs. So it's kind of dangerous for you to hitch a ride on a motorbike along like things, Federal Highway, Duke, the NKVE. It's a little bit risky. And to that point, I totally agree. Mm. I ain't going to get on a motorbike riding down the highways on the elevated right. highway and on and so forth. Right?
I mean, there's a couple of things in that. You know, where there's where there's more motorcycles, there's less cars, you know, which technically should mean less chance of gridlock and whatever. You know, and Gojek kind of pushed themselves as being the solution for many people for the last mile, for solving yeah. that last mm-hmm. mile problem. Mm-hmm. Great, great idea. But in places like Jakarta and Bangkok, where cities and streets there are very different to the ones that we have in KL, they're smaller. They're less wide, you know, and they feel. I don't want to say they feel safer, but no. they feel.
So the term is so it's an organized chaos. Whenever yeah. we go to Vietnam, mm-hmm. whenever we go to Bangkok, whenever we go to Jakarta, we always say this is an organized chaos. And the reason why it's organized, the word organized in the word chaos, it's kind of like, you know, oxymoron to say that. But if you notice, it's the little things. It's like their drivers, they wear vests, they wear, you know, helmets, specific helmet colors. It's very noticeable, all these little details, the way they ride their motorcycles, the way their roads are built to fit, you know, thousands or hundreds of motorcycles on the road. Our roads and the way that we've been thought of, you know, driving in a driving school has never, you know, made that motorcycle bit into part of our, you know, our driving roads, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very different. So the culture in Jakarta, in Vietnam, and in Bangkok is very different from the road kind of culture that we have, right? So we are unique. I would, you know, defer with the person who sent a tweet, we are not unique. I think we are. Every city is unique. So we actually spoke to Arif Roos, who is the co-founder of Cruise Control. Rich, you're
on. He is, yeah. Co-host, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And also Jasmine's here. She is she's a BFMer and also an ex-motorcyclist. She actually, I think, used to ride a scrambler mm-hmm. To work. So we asked them, you know, in general, do you think that Malaysian motorcyclists could work with something like Gojek?
Of course they could, but whether they will respect the road enough to do something like this, to be a part of Gojek and to transport people around safely, it's difficult to say that. I'm not confident that it will be good for the country.
Honestly, I don't really think so. We could, but unless we provide a proper lane specifically for motorcyclists and not just temporary lanes. Because in general, I think motorcyclists, they're fighting for space. So as lorries and cars. So being the tiny guys, I think it's going to be hard.
And going back to how different we are, right, in terms of, you know, having motorcycles on our lane. So we also asked, like, what do you think is the main difference for Malaysian motorcyclists and other ASEAN motorcyclists?
In those countries, especially Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, their roads are mostly motorcycle dominated. In Kuala Lumpur, you know, there are more cars on the road than there are motorcycles probably. You know, that presents a different danger because with a motorcycle dominated street, you know, they move a certain way, like water particles, you know, right? I think it will be difficult for us to implement this here because there's too many cars on the road. There's too many bikes weaving in and out of cars, and traffic becomes really unpredictable for them. And we kind of have to empathize with what they're dealing with as well.
Well, I tried to ride in Indonesia and I tried to ride in Thailand. And even though I felt kind of like scared, they generally look out for motorcyclists. Not in Malaysia. In Malaysia, we fight with each other and it's always a losing battle, basically. And I think that's the main difference.
We also asked them about, you know, their thoughts on, you know, the idea of bringing Gojek to Malaysia is to provide an employment source for Malaysian youth. Do you think it could be effective? Basically, their answer was, you know, very much the same lines as we had, right? They're saying, like, you know, the examples of Grab food riders, is that a good example? You know, long term, they would miss out the benefits. We've mentioned that, like, you know, they would get into accidents. Their source of income is gone, you know, but Grab needs competition, right? The food pandas, yeah. the Grabs, they need competition. So Gojek may be the only kind of like serious competitor. And, you know, Jasmine was saying that, you know, if we train from the start and implement better road system for motorcyclists early on, it would be helpful. And, you know, their thoughts on implementing something like Gojek, would it help or hurt Malaysians on the current perception? Is also the same thing. Like, a lot of people would start to understand motorcyclists, what motorcyclists go through. We complain a lot about etiquettes, but car drivers also aren't that great either.
Yes.
You know, so overall, it may soften the view on motorcyclists. And then Jasmine is saying that, you know, right now there is, proper insurance and safety measures for both passenger and rider, it would definitely help. So most Malaysians who ride bikes only do so because they can't afford a car. So Gojek would help maybe with the perception. And Syed Saddiq, you know, one of the comments he said in the 12 o'clock news, he was saying that, you know, it's not just helping the youth to get, more income, more source of income with, you know, riding bikes and stuff, right? But he was saying that, you know, aunties and the uncles that sell you food or the, you know, goreng pisang, keropok leko, you know, they would benefit from this because that's what Gojek in Jakarta is really well known for. You could order anything, right? Because what it does, it's basically, it's like your personal chauffeur. You type in what you want on the app and then that driver will ride wherever the store is and then order at that store. And then, you know, he comes back to you. And if you notice, if you've been to Jakarta and you've tried Gojek, you know when you have the restaurant and then you see the menu? So in our, you know, Grab or Foodpanda, the menu is actually baked into the app. And I mean that is in like, you know, it's nicely done. It's a text and then you can see a really nice photo of the food and stuff, right? Gojek in Jakarta, it's actually a rider or someone just take a photo of the menu that's posted on the wall and then uploads it to Gojek, to the app itself. So you're actually just looking at a photo and then you tell the driver, I want the number one and number five, and then can you tell him tambah chili, right? So then that driver will go to the store and then order just like every other individual and then send it back. So that's not what we want, because we want a seamless experience, right? So you want these uncles and aunties that, you know, Sadiq thinks that, you know, will help them too. They actually have to adopt to new technologies. They have to buy in terminals that can then accept the order. So that's the seamless experience that we want. Not the, I guess, old school way of, you know, ordering, just sending a rider and he goes and buy and then he comes back to you. That's not what I want.
Like asking your friend to tap out food for you or something. Yeah.
That solved a lot of problems in Jakarta. Mm. I don't think that's going to solve the problems that we really need solving here, because I think if we want to advance and be more of a developed nation status, then it's perhaps telling Gojek, if you're going to do this, you need to have like this seamless kind of way of using the app, because we have two, you know, Foodpanda and GrabFood already doing something like this. You have to implement this. And if you want your Kuemwe people to sell, you have to get them the devices. They learn through the whole processes. That way, I guess it's upping the level instead of just adopting something that is, you know, from Jakarta and trying to make it work in Malaysia, because that's just a step backwards.
I think it'll be useful for them to look at India as a test bed instead of looking at Indonesia, because India is having a huge problem with their riders. And problem not in the sense that their riders are not good, but because so many young people are adopting the job as a career, they're having problem with young people getting, like you said, EPF and, you know, their perks and benefits. They make so much money just being dispatchers and riders for a few different companies and a few different apps, because the market there is so big and the population is so huge that they are able to make money to even buy their first home or buy their first vehicles or upgrade themselves, not realizing that in the long run, they won't be able to do this forever. So this is like, it becomes a young person's job. So by the time they are in their maybe early 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, and then they realize that they can't do this anymore, they don't have, one, they don't have savings, two, they don't have any medical protection, three, they don't have insurance, for they don't have any retirement schemes. So I guess looking at countries like that, like India, and then looking at Indonesia as well, how they've done it because they have a bigger population, and then sort of, you know, comparing it to us, maybe that'll give the government here or maybe the authorities here or whoever's looking after the ride-hailing guys, it'll give them a better idea of how to solve these problems before it happens to us.
But that's always the problem, isn't it? There's that agreement of, okay, no, we're not doing it. Oh, yeah, we're doing it suddenly. And we find ourselves going, well, how has it happened so quickly? Yeah. Why are these things not in place? Why didn't we know more about it? And why suddenly have you done a complete flip and said, yeah, okay, we'll let them in? I think that's a big question. But we have to take a break right now. With music coming up from Elastica with Stutter, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. If you'd like to get in via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter, Instagram, at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.